Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's call it Wednesday. How about that? It's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up over there this morning, so swing on over there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget, hit that link, follow it over to the Facebook page, and hey, give that a like while you're over there. You went all the way over there. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though, which, of course, is at sportstimeradio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkeTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three
E's. All right, Dan, I don't seem to have an answer for this, but I'm wondering if maybe you do. How come it seems like every UFC fighter somehow, some way, ends up challenging a boxer? Didn't they learn from Conor McGregor just getting whooped by Floyd Mayweather that it's just not going to happen?
I missed that. Enlighten me.
Well, the new one is, you know, over the weekend we just had Jorge Masvidal beat Nick Diaz, and was a heck of a pay-per-view fight. You paid for it. It was a pretty good fight. You know, they went through all the BS, and then Masvidal had another press conference on Monday where he mentioned that he is dead serious, man, about wanting to fight Canelo Alvarez. So, yeah, you know, I just don't really seem to understand the fascination with this. Is UFC not paying enough that they want to get into boxing and try to get that big, you know, payday that Mayweather and Conor got?
Well, you know, I'm sure that's part of it, but the other side of it is they're under contract. So whatever they get, he gets a cut of it. So, I mean,
yeah.
maybe it does generate enough money for everyone to go around. But, I mean, if you were really serious and you wanted to do that, you would get out of your contract with Dana White as fast as you could so that you can broker your own deal without having to cut UFC any of that money.
Yeah, and, you know, he mentioned a lot of the stuff. So, like, I believe McGregor had quotes like this. He, you know, Masvidal said, you know, I forgot what quote. Oh, they mentioned that obviously Canelo is the better boxer. And Masvidal's response was, but can I bring some elements that boxers ain't used to that are in the legal realm of boxing and throw Canelo completely off his game? And then he dropped the F-bomb, and yes. So, obviously, when he went to college, he majored in English. So you can tell just from that sentence right there. But, yeah, so these are, you know, kind of the same things McGregor would say about Mayweather before he went out and just got roundly stumped. And the only reason the McGregor fight went as long as it did is because Mayweather carried him for, what was it, 8 rounds or 9 rounds. He could have put him away in half that time. I don't know. Again, I don't know what these guys think. I mean, it does seem that boxers have kind of smartened up and realized that they can't go fight MMA after a couple of them tried and were just soundly defeated. you know, they seem to have wised up a little, but yeah, it just seems the, you know, it's the MMA guys' turn, you know, to think that, oh yeah, well I can easily cross over because I throw punches when I fight. So yeah, I get it. That and the fact that, you know, while I know Canelo is a good draw and he may be the one of the biggest draws going right now, he's not Floyd Mayweather and Masvidal's not Conor McGregor. They're not going to get near the money that that fight did. Would you don't think they would, or am I in the wrong there? Uh-oh, did I kill Dan? Is Dan still there? Let me check.
Yeah, you're.
Oh, okay.
It was breaking up. I didn't know you were. I thought you were still talking.
So yeah, no, I, you know, like I was saying, you know, they're not going to get anywhere close to the money that Mayweather and McGregor got. I don't think so.
No.
You're not buying that.
No, they wouldn't.
The humorous thing is I actually believe the best thing and the biggest moneymaker for Masvidal would be a fight with Conor McGregor. So I don't know why he's not really kind of focusing on that, but, you know, if he's going to get McGregor, he better get him soon because, you know, what do they say? Well, he's Irish, so I guess we could say the bloom is off the rose. Obviously he got trounced by Mayweather, which was expected. You know, then he lost to Nate Diaz. I don't remember if he fought. I think maybe he did. I don't even remember. So, it's going to get to the point where, you know, McGregor will just kind of, well, you know, he used to be that guy. You know, you don't get much for beating the guy that they used to be. So, you know. Yeah, you know, I guess we will, you know, I guess we, you know, if it becomes, you know, what becomes of it, or if it becomes with, yeah, I just think it's humorous that, you know, these guys get on a little MMA roll and all of a sudden they want to be boxed.
Well, I mean,
would they be better off being professional wrestlers like Brock Lesnar and now Cain Velasquez?
Oh, Cain Velasquez is a wrestler? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did a... He did a match in Mexico, and then he was just on that WWE card they had in Saudi Arabia. But he lost a really short match to Brock Lesnar because Velasquez needs knee surgery, so he couldn't do much in the ring. But, you know, obviously they didn't want to cancel the match because it was one of their big drawing cards. So apparently they went out there and didn't do much, and then Lesnar beat him. So, you know, we'll see what goes on from there. But, yeah, now he's got to get his meat work done. But, yeah, you know, again, but I just don't, you know, it's always just kind of baffling when it's like, well, you know, I'm doing really well in my sport, so now I want to go this sport, even though I just watched the guy who was the best at it at the time get pounded. So, you know, that's just kind of baffling. But hey, well, that's about all the MMA I know for today. How about you?
Yeah, you knew a lot more than me because I didn't know. what half of what you're talking about was.
You know, and I did realize, and I think you got to catch up. I realized that it was actually officially the baseball off season, and you know how I figured that out.
Because you're watching hockey.
No, because the MLB Network has started to show that baseball. They had the first inning last night, and when they start to show that, you know it. It's officially the off season.
I haven't had MLB Network in a few years now, so what is that?
It, you know, it's something. He actually, it originally aired on PBS, and he basically just did a. You know, I've never seen it, but I know all of them are titled for an inning. You know, so like last night they showed the first inning. Tonight they'll show the second inning, and you know they'll work, you know, work their way through. But I, you know, it's basically just a baseball biography.
What game? Just any game, or?
I think it's just his life intertwined with baseball.
Oh.
So, yeah, you know, it's the thing, you know, I wish I could tell you more, but I wouldn't have seen it. Well, I don't know. So, you know, maybe, you know, when we get back to the point of you giving us your attention, watch it, and you know, tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I'll start watching it when you get your roommate's login info.
When I get... What, you broke up a little there.
Your roommate's logging info.
Yeah, well, you know, good. Actually, no, wait, I do have that. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did get that. It didn't work. I tried it with the NFL Network, and, yeah, it wasn't possible because I had to pick AT&T as my provider, and that sucked. No.
Wow. Yeah, because I would use my dad's login, but they don't. MLB Network doesn't have something with Xfinity.
Yeah, yeah. That's the same problem I have with the NFL Network. That since AT&T is no longer carrying it, I can't sign in because my television provider is AT&T. So, no, yeah, it's just like great, you know, wonderful. I thought I had an out there, and yeah, it just bit me in the yarders. So. But we'll you know, humorously, Dan, well, maybe this is just kind of more stupidity on my part. I kind of spaced off the fact that the Giants were still looking for a manager. I kind of figured that everything was all said and done, and I didn't realize that they hadn't hired anybody until today. I saw an article where apparently they've narrowed it down to three choices. Apparently it's down to Gabe Kapler, who of course just got fired as the Phillies manager, Joe Espada, whose name was mentioned with just about every job, who's the Astros bench coach. Now this was a name I haven't heard yet. This is Matt Quatro, who is the Rays bench coach. I hadn't heard him in any other hirings there, so I don't even know how to rank him. What do you know about Matt Quatro, Dan?
His name is the same as the Razor.
If I'm even pronouncing his name correctly. So, you know, I'm sure I'm probably butchering it, but... you know, we'll have to see. Let me see what I can find out about him here for us. You know, maybe he was a fantastic player that we didn't remember in the minor leagues or something. So, well, it says he was selected in the eighth round, actually by the when they were the Tampa Bay Devil Rays in 1996. But never got higher than Triple A. He had a career batting average of .286 with 23 home runs in 415 minor league games. And yeah, he's been with the Devil Rays ever since. Well, now they're the Rays. But, you know, he started as the manager and a catching instructor in the minor league system. You know, he's been a hitting instructor. What else do they have in this here? Minor league hitting coordinator. And then he was, you know, he moved up to the major league staff, actually with the Indians first as the assistant hitting coach. Then back to the Rays as a third base coach. And then the Blue Jays took him 2 years ago. He's been the bench coach there. So he's had quite a few jobs, you know, with a relatively solid, long minor league career. You know, it looks like he played 7-8 years in the minors. So, but yeah, that's about it. I can tell you he's 45. So I don't know if that helps you at all.
No, not really. But, you know, good luck to them. And you're right, I totally forgot that they didn't sign anybody, especially with, I think, did Matheny go to Kansas City?
Yes. Yeah, he ended up getting the Kansas City job. So now, do you buy recycling Kaplan so quickly?
Yes.
If he was to get the job, do you bounce back like that?
No, I don't. I mean, it all depends on kind of the moves they make and if they're able to keep Madison Bumgarner. If not, it could be Gabe Kapler. It could be the new guy. I think you, if you're not going to make the move on Bumgarner, you might as well just go with the new guy.
Yeah, and you know, I know there was a boy. I don't remember who wrote it, but they were talking about it as a what they discussed at a prominent website who wrote about the San Francisco Giants off-season predictions, and they talked about how it's looking like free agency is going to be a bad deal for them, and I'm disappointed now I didn't save the article or post the article or do anything like that with it, because it would have been fun to throw in here. But yeah, I just don't know how it kind of works out. Here you go. Believe it or not, I actually found it. So a little typing on your favorite search engine there, Dan, good old Bing, and I was able to hunt it down. This is by Michael Rosen, and it's on sfgate.com if you want to see it for yourself. But it's titled as, prominent MLB website predicts the Giants' free agency fate is—it's not pretty. So I guess they're kind of under the impression that they're not going to be able to do much.
And are they afraid to? Do they not want to plug this other website?
Yeah, the humorous point is the actual website they're talking about is MLB Trade Rumors that you and I go to, and while they don't plug it in the title, it's the first sentence of the first paragraph. And what he's mentioning on is yesterday, MLB Trade Rumors put up they do the thing where they do the top 50 free agents with their predictions, and they predicted that both Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith will leave the Giants to sign with the Minnesota Twins. Now, the site also predicts that the Giants will be able to sign Pablo Osuna to a 3-year, $45 million deal, and then booster their rotation. They'll get Rick Porcello for 1 year at $11 million. you know, obviously that's not a great trade-off. You know, you're going to be losing your best starter and obviously your closer for what actually is a pretty good corner outfielder in Ozuna. I know he had a down year with the Cardinals, but he battled through a lot of injuries last year. Porcello just coming off a terrible year, 5.52 ERA. He was just part of the mess that was that Red Sox rotation, minus, of course, Eduardo Rodriguez. So I don't know. Are you putting, you know, like I'm kind of with you. I think Smith is going to take the qualifying offer and go back. I don't think Bumgarner ends up with the Giants, so I do kind of buy that one. You know, I mean, is that such a bad off season if you get Smith and then you sign Ozuna and Porcello? Would that be not pretty, as the tagline says here?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, let's talk about the source of article, not the source of information. You know, SF Gate is tied to the San Francisco Chronicle, which was founded in 1865, and is probably one of the biggest newspapers in the West, you know, next to the LA Times and whatever. So this is not, you know, this is not a fan-sided website, so to speak. So to know that the Chronicle, SF Gates, big, you know, parents, is obviously not employing enough of their own beat reporters is pretty sad to me, that they're just going to piggyback off of what MLB Trade Rumors does. So I think that's pretty sad that they've gone to that route. But, I mean, let's be honest, that's the dying breed of the old newspaper, right? So I find that pretty funny. I do have, you know, let's give them the MLB Trade Rumors. We've, you know, been using them as a source for the last forever. But we start in 2012. So I think they're pretty reputable. And on top of that, they know their stuff and they've got their information. So I wouldn't put it past them. But, I mean, these are predictions. You know, that's what kind of upsets me with this. SF Gate didn't go out and do any of their own work. They didn't go out and get their own sources and call anybody up. They just, you know, it would be like you and I. Well, you know, we can easily stay up all night and just steal everything from MLB Trade Rumors and write blogs literally every single day and just cite them. I don't know. I don't know why I'm getting so, like, annoyed with it, but it just seems kind of cheap that a big paper like that would, you know, why even write anything? Why not just post their article? I don't know. That just irritated me, Big Jack. Kind of take back over again, rein me back in.
Oh, no, I was kind of enjoying it. But, yeah, no, I definitely get, you know, what you mean. It, you know, while I like the site and I believe that they get a lot of good information, I don't exactly know how accurate they were last year in making their predictions. And yeah, like you said, these are just predictions. You know, they're not, you know, they're not going with, or you know, they don't have any inside information like, you know, a beat writer might have or something like that. You know, this is legitimately, you know, just what they think, kind of like, you know, you and I come on here every day and, you know, and say what we think. So I don't know, you know, how much stock you can really put in. And you know, like I said, I don't expect Bumgarner to go back to the Giants. You know, I just don't think he's in their plan. You know, we knew they had talked about rebuilding. You know what I mean? I've been pushing all along for the White Sox to go out and make a big money offer to him because I believe that's what they need. You know, I've seen a lot of guys who seem to think the White Sox need a hitter, and I don't get that at all. I really think they need pitching, and what they need is that one big-time stud to put at the top of the rotation and allow Giolito and Lopez to work off of him. So I don't know, you know, if or how or why it's been such an issue, but you know, we'll see what kind of comes up with it. But yeah, it's not, you know, like you said, they didn't really do any work to acquire the knowledge, I guess is how you could look at it, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know why it just bothered me, but it just annoyed me that, you know, it's kind of like when going back to the A-Rod scandal, you know, every article you and I could pull up, you know, even as deep as Miami Chronicle, the Miami Chronicle did not have an original piece of work. They had AP News. You know, I mean, so it's like, why bother even going to the source of what you think would be the information when they don't even really, they aren't even the source. They're not even how they're doing the work. So, you know, I mean, you could at least hire some freelancers so that you don't have to pay them insurance, you know, whatever the deal is. But, you know, like you said, though, with MLB trade rumors, they do have a lot of quality sources and information, but they're not 100% spot on, just like anybody else. And, you know, to take what they say, you know, that was just clickbait. It was clickbait headline grab. You know, because,
yeah.
I mean, if you're in San Francisco and you're a Giants fan, then I think you might read that more than you might read, oh, the Giants are going to re-sign everybody and we're all going to, you know, skip on the pier after we win the World Series. So, you know, which nobody would buy that. But, you know, I mean, I do think it's interesting, but I don't know. It's just it's so hard to really take anything serious right now when the winter meetings haven't happened. I really don't know the timeline of GM, but I don't believe that they're really out there making a whole lot of phone calls and moves right now. You know, there's a reason it's called the offseason. But I did find it funny when I jumped on the MLB app to get my news, and the first two articles I saw were about Garrett Cole and Zach Wheeler. And guess where these articles had them both going? One place.
Oh, they got them both going to the Angels?
No. You were close. They got them both going to the Yankees.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, I think the Yankees definitely getting in on
one of,
you know, if not one, both of those guys. So,
yeah, but, you know, it's like you always say, every guy that's a high priority top free agent is always going to be linked to the Yankees.
Yeah. So yeah, that is the one thing you always will see. You know, you and I are very used to that it's, you know, hey, he's going to the Yankees. So,
you know, but I did send you an article from MLB with the top 20 free agents. There was only really a handful that I really wanted to pull out of there because we did talk about, you know, obviously the top one being Rendon. Strasburg, you know, Zach Wheeler. But, I was looking at more of the bottom of the list. I don't know if you pulled that up yet. But, you know, two at the bottom that I thought were, you know, really interesting to me was Avisail Garcia and Michael Pineda.
Yeah, you know, I'm very interested to see what happens with Garcia. You know, I mean, he's coming off a career year. So it's just a matter of, you know, will he go back to, you know, or will he try to go back to Tampa Bay? You know, would they take him back? You know, I don't know how it might go, but it's definitely, you know, an interesting, you know, I don't even know if you can call it a dilemma, but an interesting kind of scenario, you know, to try to figure out.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of sticking with fielding position, you know, three more, Yasiel Puig, Didi Gregorius, and Castellanos. I mean, I already seen NBC Sports Chicago already rooting for him to go to the South Side. I thought that was funny. But you're looking at three guys No, Castellanos is a Sox, but Castellanos is 28, Puig is 29, and Didi is 30. So, I mean, I think these are three high-quality free agents that, you know, may not be getting Bryce Harper-esque money, but I think would make a difference on any team that decides to go after him. It's just, who do you feel would these guys fit with?
Yeah, you know, I read that it looks like Cincinnati is going to be an opportune spot for kind of from the landing place. And I know they picked up Freddie Galvis's option, but it's only for $5.5 million, which in baseball is a very, you know, a very reasonable salary. As humorous as it is to say that, you know, that's very reasonable. And you know, he would be a really good fit on that team and in that ballpark. And, you know, Galvis can play some second base. You know, I know that we have Jose Iglesias hanging around. Maybe he's a free agent. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. And then they have I think it's Perella. You know, he's the guy that he was a fantastic minor league player, but it just hasn't worked out, you know, worked out at the major league level yet. So, you know, I definitely think Didi could walk in there and be just a fantastic add, you know, for the Reds, if that's where he happens to end up. You know, Pineda, you know, okay, yeah, go ahead, please.
No, I was just, you obviously don't know what to say about him. But no, I, you know, kind of going with you, I think so. One thing that would definitely help with Didi going to Cincy is getting to play 80 games in Cincinnati. You know, he's already played in that wonderful April weather in New York, which, you know, they're not too far off from Cincinnati weather. So, you know, the way that stadium is situated, do you think he could even get more power, more home runs out of Cincinnati?
You know, well, you know, the thing that, like, I've only heard one person mention that Didi was coming back from Tommy John surgery. You know, everybody else has kind of conveniently left that out of their, you know, comments and stuff when they've either written about him or talked about him or, you know, whatever they've decided to say about him. It's kind of like, you know, you guys are forgetting, you know, that we're talking about a guy who was injured. So I, you know, and again, you know, you don't want to give the facts to cover up a good story. So, you know, you just kind of let that go. But yeah, I mean, a healthy Didi Gregorius in, you know, a home run hitter's park, he's already shown you what he can do in Yankee Stadium. There's no reason he couldn't do that or more in, what is it, it's the Great American Ballpark, right?
Yeah.
No reason he could get close to 30 or, you know, if he's on a roll, 35 bombs there.
That's kind of the number I was looking at. And, I mean, you know, everybody's different, and rehab is totally different But you've got to wonder if you take a look at Shohei Ohtani and his comeback into the bat. You know, it wasn't, I think it's, well, number one, I don't think his numbers are going to be what everyone projected him to be anyways, but he was still able to perform the entire season for the most part.
Yeah.
So I think,
you know, and then, you know,
The next couple of months off, it'll definitely help Didi out.
Yeah, you
and
know,
he's
I
only
mean,
30.
You look at it, right, you know, he's got what? He's got the entire off season now to rehab. So, you know, I mean, there's no reason he can't come back at, you know, 100% or better. Can you be better than 100%? I'm sure you can. So, you know, I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, and that, in all honesty, like, I won't be surprised if the Yankees decide they want him back. You know, when they start kind of looking at things, even if it's just for him to be, you know, the middle of the infield utility guy, you know, you're asking a lot. You know, they've got Andujar coming back from Tommy John surgery as well. You know, and I know Gio Urshela had a fantastic year for them, but that's the first time Urshela has put up numbers. You know, Didi's got a career where you can look and see his numbers. So, you know, it's apples to oranges there. You know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, the Yankees decide that they need to get him back and they get into the running again, especially if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Throwing stuff on the floor.
So what is your take on Puig? I mean, 29 years old,
well,
did we finally see him down in... Go ahead.
Let me go through Pineda real quick first because you did bring him up.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he is suspended, right? There's still a suspension for him to sit out.
I can't remember.
So, you know, I vaguely remember, you know, because I remember it started last year. You know, he's the other guy. I mean, the big question just seems to be, is he healthy? You know, that was his big, you know, his big question there was, you know, well, will he be healthy? And, you know, as long as he's healthy, you know, you've probably got a really solid middle to bottom of the rotation starter. So, you know, he could probably help the right team. You know, you get the right team and he would be in a good spot. I mean, I don't want to see him at the top of anybody's rotation or, you know, anything like that. But he would be a decent guy. I honestly won't be surprised if he ends up going back to Minnesota just because he might feel he owes them something.
Well, and I put that down. I'm driving, but so I can't remember right, but I know he's at least 30, right? 28 to 30, so. Still have some time with him if you do sign him.
Yeah. Let's see here. I found the article. Let me see if his age is included here. As I
yeah, they,
to him.
He's like number 20, I think. So, you know, obviously, as you see from the top, we've covered most of these guys anyway. That's why I just kind of picked out the games and the names. We haven't really talked about that often lately.
Yeah, well, you know, all the interesting guys are always down there at the bottom. Yeah, they have him at 31. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how that goes. Yeah, you know, you know my feelings with Puig. I don't know if the Marlins will do it or not because, let's face it, they're not a very intelligent franchise, even with Derek Jeter running it. But, yeah, I mean, this is the guy we're looking for to build this franchise around. You know, a Cuban-born player in Miami, you know, I mean, obviously he's a bit of a, you know, what they call him the wild horse. He's a little wild at times, but he's only 29. You know, there's no reason they can't throw like a 6-year deal at him and start building that damn franchise right around him. You know, it might not be a bad idea for them to try to bring back maybe a Curtis Granderson to kind of mentor him. You know, I'm sure you could get Grandy on a really cheap deal to come back. But I don't understand why, you know, and the sad part is they're probably not going to do this. And I just don't understand why. You know, I mean, he's legitimately a 5-tool player. So go, you know, go get him and let's start rebuilding this and stop screwing the people of Miami over. And, you know, this way, at least you've got a reason for them to come to your ballpark. You know, you've got a Cuban-born player in Miami. But, yeah, I just have a feeling they're going to be too dumb to do it.
He's going to be with some random team. I don't know who it's going to be, but I don't think it'll be the Royals, but he'll be somewhere.
You know, and
that's the
thing, like, you know, I wouldn't complain if the White Sox brought him in as long as they brought Jose Abreu back to mentor him.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a fantastic move for him. You know, you plug him in there with, you know, Jimenez and whoever ends up in center field along with Abreu to say kind of, you know, easy there, big fella. Tone it down. And, you know, you're just adding one more fantastic piece to a core of what appears to be, really good players. You know, I know nobody mentions it in this day and age because batting average doesn't mean crap, but Tim Anderson did win the American League batting title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it means nothing to anybody else, but to me it's still pretty impressive. You know, he hit .335 for an entire season.
Yeah, Big Jack, the thing that kills me, though, is White Sox fans I know want this kid off the team. But
yeah,
they, you know, the other part of it is, and I'm not going to start to do this whole, oh, the Cubs are better than the White Sox crap, because the White Sox fans know how they feel. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, and that's kind of the – you know, I have my one brother-in-law, his brother, he still loves his White Sox, but he loves baseball. So, you know, when him and I get together, we don't crap on – he doesn't crap on the Cubs, I don't crap on the Sox. And, you know, we do crap on crappy plays, which, you know, that's what baseball guys do, like you and I would do.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, over the time that it's taken Anderson to develop, I think he's really coming into his own and really learning how to – actually take that position. So to see the White Sox just give up on him, you know, because some of the fans are upset, I think would be kind of stupid. But, you know, it would be something else if you, you know, with the pitching rotation that they have, if everyone could stay healthy, Ronaldo Lopez can kind of get back in a rhythm with Giolito. And if they're able to sign somebody, I'm not knocking, but Garrett Cole's not coming to the South Side of Chicago. But it would be something to see. It would be something to see Yasiel Puig in that outfield. But the thing that kills me is just because of the half a year of success that Castellanos had, now that's what everyone's talking about. They want him on the south side. And yeah, I don't think that really does anything.
No, you know, and I know, you know, he was really good for the Cubs. He was much better than I actually thought he was going to be. You know, his defense didn't suffer as much as I thought it would. But, you know, he's just not the fit the White Sox are looking for. That was like, I mean, I'm sure you heard the idiots talking that if J.D. Martinez opted out, the White Sox needed to go get him. Why? You know, I mean, I get that he would give you great offensive numbers, but that's not your weakness. You know, I mean, you need to build that rotation and find some quality bullpen pieces. You know, I know Colomé did a really nice job for you as a closer. I think he was like 30 out of 33 saves. So hopefully he can repeat that, but you got to find guys who can get him the ball. So, you know, they definitely have to get into that department. And, you know, obviously their first priority is to get Abreu re-signed and back, or, you know, maybe he'll take the qualifying offer. That would be really nice for them. But, yeah, and then it's, you know, I still think it's, you know, you find that top of the rotation stud. That puts Giolito at two, Lopez at three. You know, if you get Michael Kopech back, he could be four. And then God only knows if Carlos Rodon ever comes back, but he could be five if he was ever healthy. You know, you'd be looking at a pretty good rotation. And, you know, and I so that's why I think that's where their money and their focus needs to be this year. You know, and like you said, sadly, you know, we're not going to see Garrett Cole or Steven Strasburg here, but I would be okay with Madison Bumgarner, wouldn't you? You know, and I'm trying to remember who else some of the other free agent starting pitchers are, but, you know, I mean, that, you know, that would be a good, you know, a really good base to, you know, kind of start building these, you know, these guys around, you know, because, you know, Bumgarner is still young. I know he's had a couple with the injuries. He had a couple rough years with the Giants, but, you know, don't forget the White Sox have Don Cooper, who's one of the best, if not the best pitching coach in baseball. So, you know, he'll be able to, you know, hopefully work that out, you know, and I know, you know, there's a lot of people out there with Zach Wheeler really highly rated. I think he's 29, maybe going to be 30. You're looking at a guy coming off of, you know, he's had multiple Tommy John surgeries. And, you know, there would be some questions if he could be a number one. You know, the other guy out there could be Hyunjin Ryu. The only problem with that is I don't think you can sign him long term. You can't go 5 years with him like you could with Bumgarner. You know, I mean, the best you could do with Ryu is maybe go three with an option, because he is 33. You know, and he's also had his injury issues too. So, you know, you would have to be a little careful with him. You know, Dan's guy, Jake Odorizzi, is floating out there. I don't know if you could sell me him as a number one. So, you know, that could be interesting. Don't forget the other guy who could be very underrated here, maybe Dallas Keuchel is the guy to bring in and try to solidify that rotation around. You know, he had a pretty good year with Atlanta when he finally signed. I want to double check his numbers to make sure. You know, he ended up making 19 starts. He was 8-8 with a 3.75 ERA. He did throw 112 and, you know, two-thirds innings. So he's okay there. He could be a front of the rotation guy, you know, if you were looking to go that route. You know, and how old is he? He'll be 32 January 1st. So, you know, he's another guy you could go that extended, you know, 3 years, 4 years with an option and, you know, put him at the front of your rotation and hopefully he could, you know, lead the kids, you know, as they begin to develop. So, yeah, you know, there definitely are some options out there for them. You know, what my fear is, you know, knowing the White Sox the way they are, that they may just go get a Julio Teheran, who was, the Braves bought him out. They're going to let him go. And, you know, now there's, you know, nothing wrong with Julio Teheran. He's been a solid pitcher at, you know, the top of the Braves rotation when they weren't a very good team. You know what I mean? You look, he's made, let's see, 30 or more starts in every year since 2013. So, you know, he's going to go to the bump when you need him. Again, not bad last year. He was 10-11, but a 3.81 ERA over 33 games. That's not terrible. You know, he's just not that big, dominant, in-your-face kind of number one that I would hope that the White Sox are looking for. So, you know, we'll have to see how it, you know, how it goes. You know, I mean, hey, maybe they could fall back and sign Wade Miley, who's a free agent. And, you know, I like Wade Miley a lot. Disappointed the Astros kept him off the ALCS and World Series roster. And I think that hurt him when they couldn't get lefties out. But, hey, that's just my opinion. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, there are some guys they could possibly look at and, you know, see if they can get in. I just don't see the bat being their, you know, their saving grace there. I don't know, you know, if or how or why that would be their go-to, but, I guess maybe. And, you know, like we were talking about it earlier, you know, the MLB trade rumors prediction cycle here, they have Puig going to the Tigers for just 1 year at $8 million. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know why, but that's just kind of what, you know, what they have. Let's see if they have any kind of reasoning for it here. Well, a lot of it is Ned Colletti is the Tigers GM now. He's the one who signed Puig out of Cuba. So, yeah, I don't know that, you know, like I said, I would like to see the Marlins jump in and really make a big run there. But, you know, who knows? So, but, yeah, that's kind of where, you know, where everybody sits, you know. So, you know, kind of the way it plays out, and, you know, slowly but sure we will begin to find these things out, and hopefully I'm right, because I would like to be right for a change, just for a change. So, I don't know, did I kill Dan? I haven't heard from Dan. Where did Dan go? So he just left me hanging. Oh, there.
No, I was still here.
No.
You were on a roll, so I figured I'd let you continue.
You know, then I realized last night, Dan, another reason why I'm not a professional gambler for a living. I was just kind of watching. For some reason, there seems to be a lot of betting shows on television now, and I was watching one on FS1 called Lock It In, and a guy bet that the Lakers would cover last night against the Bulls. I thought, yeah, that's a really good bet. I would probably take that, too. The line was 7.5. The Bulls lost by 6. So they covered. And it's like, yeah, it's a good thing I don't do this for a living, man. I'd be in the street in Vegas trying to find a place to sleep. So, but, yeah, I wanted to ask you here, and I wrote about this a little bit at the end of the blog today. You know, you and I have both had some, you know, what you could call some pretty serious injuries. You know, you had a incredibly messed up ankle, and, you know, my knees are shot. And, you know, like tonight, Kawhi Leonard is taking what is actually his second night off because of load management issues in the NBA. Dan, I don't believe the Clippers have played, but 5 or 6 games, and he already needs 2 games off for load management.
Well, what does that even
mean? Could you explain that a little bit? It basically just means they're giving him the night off. That's just the new term for it. They've played 7 games. Tonight is their 8th. And now they are in the first of a back-to-back, but they're playing the Bucks tonight and the Trailblazers tomorrow. You would think as a team they would want him against the Bucks and Antetokounmpo, and they would give him the rest against the Blazers. But they're doing it the other way around. The Blazers, by the way, are 3-4, while the Bucks are 5-2. But how do you need 2 days off in 8 games, Dan? I don't get it.
Well, you know, when you – I don't know. All I know is D. Rose is hurt already.
Yeah. You know, I know, you know, this is the marquee second game on the Mickey Mouse Network. And you got to think humorously, tomorrow's game against the Trailblazers is a TNT game. So TNT is going to get Kawhi Leonard while the Mickey Mouse Network isn't. You know, they paid a lot of money to televise these games. Sooner or later, the NBA's got to step in and do something about this, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's even, you know, my first week or two in fantasy basketball was dominating. And then today's Wednesday, Monday, I believe it was, Monday or Tuesday, you know, both Russell Westbrook and my hotshot Derrick Rose were both out for no reason.
Yeah.
Just out. And I'm like, well, you know, at the time there was only so many guys playing, but it just doesn't make any sense. Like, these are the top players, and you can't tell me you're already trying to preserve them for the playoffs that are next May. You know, it's the equivalent of this stupid 100 pitch rule or unwritten rule.
Yeah. You know, and I know humorously they asked the Knicks coach is, oh God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. I think it's David. Let's see if I can bing it here real quick. Yeah, David Fizdale. They asked him about the fact that he was playing R.J. Barrett a bunch of minutes. You know, he was the number three pick in the draft. He was the Knicks' first pick. And he basically told them to, you know, stick it where the sun don't shine. The kid's 19, and he can handle playing all this time and all these minutes. So I got quite a kick out of that. I honestly wish somebody would ask Tom Thibodeau a question like that, because I would have loved to know what good old Tibbs would have said had they asked him about load managing a player. So. But I, you know, I guess in the end here, Dan, what it kind of, you know, draws to, you know, in my mind is this going to hurt the NBA? I mean, I don't know how much longer that contract is with the Mickey Mouse Network, but you got to think if you're not getting their stars for marquee games, no one's going to pony up that kind of money in their next contract, are they?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think they definitely blew the load when they shipped out, you know. You know, it's funny when a network like that, they spend all that money on an NBA TV contract, and the result is the release of all of your top, you know,
yep,
media guys.
You know, yeah, because, you know, the ratings were down last year for the NBA. You know, they did the best they could to make the LeBron and the Lakers prominent again to try to help out those ratings. You know, and LeBron, surprisingly, LeBron did play last night against the Bulls. I thought maybe he would take the night off. But, you know, down the line, him and Anthony Davis will both get load managed. This seems to be the new trend in the NBA, and I don't know if this is a good thing, Dan. I think in the end it's going to end up hurting the league. You know, because, I mean, sooner or later people are going to get fed up paying, you know, ticket prices to go to these games and not seeing these guys, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we were lucky last year when we had the Bulls Lakers and LeBron playing. But for a crappy team.
Yeah.
Paying $70 to sit in those leagues.
As always, you can stop by and listen to us live. Thanks for doing that. We do greatly appreciate that. But remember,